Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau here on April Fool's Day. Today we'll be featuring National News of the Nation, a satirical look at the news. We'll also hear an interview with a 2,000-year-old man. We'll find out about raising chinchillas. And we'll learn about one man's struggle with TV addiction. That writer's almanac, bird note, music and more today on a Juneau afternoon.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Civil rights attorneys from the U.S. Justice Department say a federal judge wrongly denied a request to establish satellite election offices for Native Americans on 3 Montana reservations. At the center of the case are the long distances some tribal members must travel to reach county courthouses for early voting and late registration, and plaintiffs from the Crow, Northern Cheyenne, and Fort Belknap reservations say the distances leave Native voters at a distinct disadvantage to white voters. Before last fall's election, U.S. District Judge Richard Siebel sided with state and county election officials who fought against new election offices, saying there was no evidence tribal members were being prevented from voting for the candidates of their choice. The Justice Department says Siebel's decision was flawed, stating that the judge had overlooked past voting discrimination of Native Americans and that long travel distances could deny equal access in the weeks before Election Day. In the past, many Native voters in Montana were often denied the right to vote outright, while nationally, Native Americans were often denied the right to vote unless they renounced tribal ties. The 1965 Voting Rights Act prohibits state-sanctioned discrimination against minorities. In Salem, Oregon, the state legislature has introduced 3 bills that would weaken the State Board of Education's ability to prohibit the use of Native American mascots. In 2012, schools with Native American mascots, nicknames, and logos were given 4 years to comply with the ban or risk losing state funding. However, with 2 of the newly introduced bills, schools would be able to keep their mascots if they received the blessing of a local tribe, while a 3rd bill would prohibit the State Board of Education from withholding money. Supporters of the proposed legislation say giving Oregon tribes some say in whether schools keep their mascots represents a reasonable compromise. The Mashpee Wampanoag in southeastern Massachusetts may face an uncertain future when it comes to their casino, depending on a state commission that could open the region for competing casinos. The Wampanoag have had exclusive gaming rights in southeast Massachusetts, but the state reserved the ability to open the area to other bidders if officials determined the tribe's efforts weren't working. The Wampanoag planned to open a $500 million casino in 2015. However, that can't happen until the Bureau of Indian Affairs take land at the proposed casino site into trust, a move that could prompt years of lawsuits from competitors interested in opening their own casinos. Opponents of the move also say a Supreme Court decision prevents the Wampanoag from getting that land because it limits land taking to tribes that were federally recognized before the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. The tribe was recognized in 2007. If bidding is open, Wampanoag officials have indicated they would seek gaming rights through the federal government instead of the state, eliminating state revenues from the project. State officials indicate they want to give the tribe a chance to make things work, but don't want to give them forever. The Crow Tribe of Montana plans to lease an additional 145 million tons of coal worth over $12 million over the next 4.5 years. The lease would go to a Colorado-based company and located next to the Absaloka mine in southeastern Montana, already run by the company. The Colorado Springs-based Westmoreland Coal Company has leased coal reserves from the Crow Tribe for nearly 40 years, and pending approval by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the company would control 357 million tons of coal reserves and resources. On this day in 1866, Congress overrode President Andrew Johnson's veto of the Civil Rights Bill of 1866, granting citizenship and the same rights enjoyed by white citizens to all men in the United States except Native Americans. The congressional overturn of President Johnson's veto became one of the catalysts leading to his impeachment. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Programming made possible in part by the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau, hosting the 11th annual travel fair featuring displays of tours and summer activities for Juneau residents and visitors. The 11th annual travel fair at the Nugget Mall, April 6th from 10 till 2.
The time is now. The day is today. The show is National News of the Nation, and it's all about you. Any resemblance between the following and true fact is pure luck. The sound has been reformatted to fit your radio. Whether or not you like it, this is the news. I'm Brenda Cabbage.
I'm Walter Crankcase.
Today, a new look for Mount Rushmore, pampering our canine friends, and we follow a clown bound for Congress, plus the latest generic news.
Support for this program is brought to you in part by the Speakeasy Diet Plan, guaranteed weight loss through controlled hyperconversation, speakeasydiet.com, and by House of GMO. It tastes good because it all tastes the same. Food products genetically designed for hunger satisfaction, houseofgmo.com.
In today's news,
and by the No Pros Marketing and Research Corporation, we know more about you than you do, because, just because.
In today's news,
and by Dynacell Nuclear Power Battery Modules, pocket-sized patient for nuclear families, available in double and triple A, C, and D, designed to last forever.
In today's news,
okay, go for it.
Tax preparation should be a lot easier next year, according to IRS officials, and if not easier, a lot more efficient. With more on the proposed changes, here's Pam Spam from Washington, D.C.
Easy Form 5790-614-610-KM-967-SR-77-237 promises to save taxpayers an average of 6 hours preparation time once they've figured out how to download the 7,032-page form from the IRS website. The newly designed form allows taxpayers to specify what part of government they wish their taxes to go towards supporting. To further economize the process, Easy Form 5790-614-610-KM-967-SR-77-237 can be completed online or, once filled out and printed, returned to the IRS book rate. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Pam Spam.
Next election, voters in a growing number of states will decide upon the use of medical stupidity cards, giving bearers the legal right to do stupid things. The cards, prescribed by medical doctors, authorize the holder to do things that might seem like a good idea at the time, but upon reflection, are determined to be really stupid. The propositions are virtually identical from state to state, save for California's, which would allow the cards to be prescribed by doctors of philosophy as well. There seems to be no organized opposition to the proposed legislation. In fact, the number of pre-filed applications virtually assures passage of the propositions across the country. The only hitch in the process comes from Congress, which initially wanted to limit access to the cards to themselves.
Depending on the issue, many constituents might say they're represented in Congress by a bunch of clowns. That might be closer to the truth if one Northern California candidate finds himself successful this next election day. With more on that, here's National News of the Nation's West Coast political correspondent, Janet Glum.
With campaign slogans like "a rubber chicken in every pot" and "it's always happy hour," you can rest assured this candidate is garnering his share of attention. And it's more serious than you might expect. Leading his closest rival by double digits, Bonkers the Clown seems to be a shoe-in in this November. And what shoes they are.
I say let's put a real clown in Congress.
Legally changing his name to Bonkers, a moniker reflecting the foam rubber baseball bat he brings to political debates dressed in full clown regalia, the somewhat unusual politician prefers to bonk his opponents on the head, punctuating each remark with a squeaky pinch of his red rubber nose. Voters seem to prefer his honesty, as well as his sound effects.
He's got my vote for sure.
Tickling funny bones on his way to Washington, Bonkers the candidate clown remains one to be watched. I'm Janet Glum in Northern California.
In an effort to curb rumors of unethical behavior, New York Congressman Sam Spam has gone on record saying he has never used performance-enhancing drugs in his 28-year political career. According to one Capitol Hill watchdog, quote, "That's been obvious for a while."
Support for this program comes in part from the National Eructation Foundation that believes good things like good ideas need to be brought up again and again and again.
Thousands of Cape Cod beachgoers were terrified this past weekend as a giant mutant strain of brine shrimp, otherwise known as sea monkeys, appeared along the New England seaboard. The normally nearly microscopic organisms, marketed mainly through comic books, were reported to have grown larger than 6 feet tall, although appeared to be somewhat docile. Scientists were initially puzzled by the situation, but local seafood retailers have been quick to take advantage of this sudden bounty.
Get your hot-spotted sea monkeys! Get your hot-spotted sea monkeys!
Reporting from Cape Cod, I'm Belinda Manicotti.
TV viewers who want to mix a little humor with their history will be pleased in the coming season with the new sitcom based on the trials and tribulations of the men and women writing the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. With the latest on that, here's National News of the Nation TV critic Cleveland Shoes.
Calling it a mix between West Wing and F Troop, the producers of Constitution Hall are promising laughs galore as they explore the lighter side of historical luminaries such as Thomas Jefferson and Betsy Ross while playing it fast and loose with American history. Take, for example, this scene involving Benjamin Franklin and George Washington.
Have a seat, George, and see what you think of this change I made to the We the People line.
Verily.
How do you like my new invention? I made it out of a sheep's bladder. It'll be a good comment on some of those amendments Jefferson keeps trying to insert.
Bet you didn't know Benjamin Franklin invented the whoopee cushion. That and other little-known facts make for a unique but amusing way of looking at the founding of our country. Here's a clip of an interaction between Betsy Ross and George Washington.
I'm not sure, George. I just don't think Paisley says democracy.
All this talk about 13 stripes and 13 stars, doesn't that seem a little, unlucky? Can't you wait until another state comes on board?
A deadline's a deadline. Besides, I've already ordered the fabric online.
Online?
Just another one of Ben's silly inventions.
Your laugh track will be right in line with the all-star cast assembled for your educational and entertainment pleasure. Constitution Hall premieres on NBC TV next season. Watch your listings for air dates and times. I'm Cleveland Shoes.
On the assumption that people shouldn't be more than 5 seconds away from the ability to check their email, the U.S. Forest Service, operating in conjunction with the Microsoft Corporation, is embarking on a unique experiment in Washington's Olympic National Forest. With more on that, here's Evelyn Blunt.
They're calling it tree mail, and it involves turning selected tall trees into Wi-Fi towers, providing wireless service throughout the Olympic Peninsula. What sets these towers apart from their 4G cousins is the addition of computer terminals at the base of the close to 10,000 tree towers, allowing connectivity for those who forget their devices. The project is rumored to cost in the tens of millions of dollars, but Microsoft is behind it all the way, describing it as paving the way to a green future. In Seattle, I'm Evelyn Blunt. This morning on interstate highways across the nation, thousands of artists began the year-long process of color-coding the country's road system. Armed with a mandate to make navigating travel routes easier, use up surplus percent for art funds, and dozens of quick-drying high-pressure paint sprayers, teams of four work one lane at a time at a rate of 5 miles an hour, followed by a two-person striping crew. Close to 50,000 miles of pavement, previously known as blacktop, make up the system, ranging from Florida's I-4, soon to be gray, to Pennsylvania's I-99, soon to be fuchsia. Colors were selected at random.
Millions of cars, equipped with millions of airbags, are due to be recalled in the coming months, according to Department of Windbag officials. At issue are the compressed gas capsules that inflate the bags in case of an accident. In the supposedly defective airbags, the compressed air consists of nitrous oxide, otherwise known as laughing gas. Trouble started when accident victims, overcome by the fumes, refused to be rescued.
In other automobile news, the nation's gas retailers, as a way of saying thanks for all their years of patronage, will be giving away free gas tomorrow. The offer will be extended to every 10th customer and is only good as long as supplies last.
This just in, researchers at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee today confirmed scientific proof of the existence of what's commonly known as déjà vu. The persistent feeling that the present reality has been experienced before can be backed up by studies in paranormal activity and repeated in the laboratory. We'll have more details as they're available.
A poll released today by Pollsetters Incorporated confirmed the suspicion of millions that most people ignore polls and see the results as meaningless anyway. According to the figures in the study, 76.5% of those surveyed didn't believe in surveys, 52% didn't respond, and 89% wouldn't answer the phone.
Newly elected Florida Congressman Pete Spitter Norbit appears to have set a record for numbers of bills introduced in his first month in office, having filed 437 in his first week as a public servant. The proposed laws include a resolution making it a felony to leave your shopping carts in the parking lot, regulations governing the use of reclining airplane seats, establishing fines for honking unnecessarily, and setting limits on public flatulence. According to Norbit, I guess I just got a little excited.
Wisconsin dairy farmers have come under fire from a surprising corner, the liquor industry. Lobbyists for breweries, distilleries, and wineries are busy working to pass legislation banning the production of what's become now known as hard milk. The relatively new beverage is made by adding yeast, hops, and sugar to a cow's typical diet of grass and grain, letting the bovine's natural high internal temperatures ferment the mixture so that a mild-tasting 15% alcohol beverage results, straight from the tap. Lawmakers are divided equally between banning the drink outright or ordering another round.
In related news, the Food and Drink Administration has given the go-ahead to beer producers to begin offering their products in a new smart bottle. Driven by federal tax breaks, the bottles take a quick breath sample, and if the consumer's alcohol level is too high, the flow stops. The bottles aren't foolproof, but FDA officials contend that if a drinker's alcohol level is that high, they won't be able to figure it out.
Recent visitors to South Dakota's famed Mount Rushmore have been getting more than they expected. Running water. Here with more is Carl Clamshell.
Weakened from the initial carving, completed in 1941, slowly growing fissures have created naturally running springs free-flowing from the granite nostrils of the four towering presidential heads, giving them a unique look.
It looks like their noses are running.
And running they are, at 200 gallons per minute, out of the scenic noses of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. Hydrologist and historian Ruth Truth.
First, it was just a trickle, but the years took their toll. We tried diverting the increasing flow with a series of pipes, but that was cosmetically as well as ethically challenging, as we knew Goosen Borglum, the lead sculptor, would not approve, so we went with the plan with the least impact.
However, letting the waters flow has not been without some unexpected results, as a whole new breed of tourists has descended upon the Black Hills, those with terminal hay fever, coming to soak in the green-tinged 120-degree pools at the base of the monument.
It changed my life.
The healing effect has drawn thousands to the surrounding hills, enough to establish dozens of trailer parks to house the health seekers. But the healing waters do have their price.
We drove 3,000 miles to see Mount Rushmore, and the last thing we want to see is a dead president with post-nasal drip.
With the battle lines drawn, the Park Service is willing to let Mother Nature take her course and see what happens. Reporting from the Black Hills, I'm Carl Clamshell.
Engineers, geologists, and politicians have begun planning for what appears to be the largest public works project of the 21st century, the North American Canal. Stretching from New York to San Francisco, the NAC will take advantage of existing waterways and create new ones by remodifying present mountain ranges that are in the way. Although there is no actual need for the canal, a consortium of cruise ship companies insist it pencils out financially and is busy clearing the path through Congress, as well as the 5,000-mile zigzag course across the United States. The NAC will pass by as many national monuments as possible, and in some cases, selected monuments may be moved for a more enjoyable viewing experience. The NAC is scheduled to put every living and breathing North American, as well as a few Central Americans, to work. Construction is planned to begin next year.
The term cryogenics refers to the scientific practice of the ability of being able to freeze individuals and thaw them out in the future. Common wisdom holds on to the belief that the process is reserved for the terminally ill, well-to-do, waiting for a cure to their ailment at a later date. But new research is aiming the technique towards the masses. Pert Nauseam reports.
Why should technology be reserved for the super wealthy? That's the driving philosophy behind the day-to-day research of Dr. Rudolf Spengler of the Institute of White Noise, who is working to bring cryogenics to the masses.
Why wait for the distant future anyway? It's as close as tomorrow.
Spengler isn't playing loose with language when he's referring to the day after today, as his experiments reduce the frozen period from decades to merely hours.
Or even minutes. Think about it, if you're stuck in traffic, one spritz and you're out till the road's clear.
He's referring to his pocket-sized sprayer, looking much like a breath freshener, only this unit can freeze an average adult rock solid in 30 seconds.
If you're having a boring conversation at a party, in a meeting that's way too long, having an argument with your partner, one spritz, and it's over. When you come out of it, the issue is usually resolved.
Cryo Express, a division of the Institute, has received the go-ahead from government regulators and will soon be offering spritzer units for $29.95, with matching thawing modules available at various speeds. For National News of the Nation, I'm Pert Nauseam.
This just in, researchers at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee today confirmed scientific proof of the existence of what's commonly known as déjà vu. The persistent feeling that the present reality has been experienced before can be backed up by studies in paranormal activity and repeated in the laboratory. We'll have more details as they're available.
The concept of doing it yourself is becoming more and more pervasive these days. From growing your own food to owner-built homes, the idea of a self-made lifestyle is picking up in popularity. Reflecting that philosophy is this month's Book Pick of the Day, Tabula Rasa by Vinnie Spleen. With more on that, here's National News of the Nation's literature reviewer, Todd Wadd.
The concept of tabula rasa comes from the Latin, smoothed or erased tablet, referring to the belief that we are all born with a blank slate. It has been taken to its logical extreme in this offering from first-time author Spleen. The 272-page tome is truth in advertising at its finest, as the entire book is blank. But that hasn't stopped the praise this unique volume has been receiving. The New York Times Book Review said, "Nothing could have pleased me more," while the Oxford Press gushed, "When I got to the end, I wanted more, more." It's part mystery, part love story, part biography. You take away whatever you put into it, making it a lesson in existentialist philosophy while tickling your funny bone with every turn of the page. Tabula Rasa brings the reader a reassuring lack of suspense, while at the same time inviting one to propel their imagination to unexpected heights. The absence of any illustrations is reminiscent of watching TV with the power off, harking back to an earlier era. The lack of text makes this an easy and satisfying read for all ages, even in the dark. For this reviewer, Tabula Rasa gets 5 out of 4 stars, and a hearty thanks to author Vinnie Spleen, who is reportedly working on Volume 2. For National News of the Nation, I'm Todd Wadd.
Scientists at Southern California's Rocket Propulsion Laboratory celebrated for several hours today after thinking they had discovered another planet. Chuck Luce reports.
Their success, however, was short-lived when the evening janitorial crew cleaned off the facility's massive telescope lens.
It was just a piece of lint from one of our lab coats,
explained lead scientist Don Reeves, who refused to be identified. Unfortunately, quick-thinking staff had already deployed a $75 million manned space shuttle to explore the discovery.
I guess we'll just have to break it to them when they get back.
Reporting from Pasadena, I'm Chuck Luce.
Scientists at the University of Nebraska, where the N stands for knowledge, today released the existence of a new element. Nora Dora reports from Lincoln.
The discovery could only be made public after 427 meetings, 235 forms, filled out in triplicate, were submitted and approved by 56 panels of experts, passed through 32 verification commissions, went successfully through 78 budgetary review committees, and vetted by a working group of professional peers. The element, now officially known as bureaucratite, can only be viewed once the required forms are submitted. Reporting from Lincoln, I'm Nora Dora.
City officials in South Palm Beach, Florida, have stirred up local residents' anger with their plans to curb the problem of wild poodles through aerial spaying. With more on that, here's Tyler Pants.
Feral poodles have long been a problem in this retirement community. With thousands of curly canines being released in the wild every year after the death of their owners, resulting in dozens of packs of poodles patrolling the streets, striking fear in the hearts of local residents. Trapping didn't work, neither did a bounty.
That's when we had to up the ante.
Sheriff Luther Stout.
We repurposed a few crop dusting plants, so instead of pesticides, they release a doggy contraceptive. We think it's pretty much safe.
But pretty much safe isn't good enough for residents like Tiffany Bell, who's afraid the contraceptives might work on her, as well as her dog, and has filed lawsuit after lawsuit to stop the spraying.
I'm not finished breeding yet.
For now, the fate of aerial spaying is tied up in the courts, with no decision expected soon. From South Palm Beach, I'm Tyler Pants.
Seeing a need to revitalize its image to the American people, the nine justices of the Supreme Court will soon tour the United States with a combination musical review, dance performance, and lessons in jurisprudence. The act, known as the D.C. Supremes, will dramatize historic court arguments backed up by a chorus offering updated versions of the classic Motown hits like Papa Was a Liberal and I Heard It Through the Crime Line. Taking inspiration from the Grateful Dead, the group will support a legion of bench heads, encourage recordings of the proceedings, and traveling around in a multicolored bus. The D.C. Supremes tour begins next summer.
Citing the oft-used comparison of watching legislation and sausage being made, the Pennsylvania legislature has taken the inspiration a step further by combining the two. Taking paper drafts of bills and pulverizing them in a soy-based water solution, adding nitrates and flavoring, and stuffing the mixture into sausage casings, a surprisingly tasty product results. Legislative pork links have been popular with shoppers in the Quaker State and beyond, for their smoke-filled room taste and the fact that they're completely sustainable, as there's no end to the raw materials. Look for them in supermarkets nationwide by the end of the year.
Diplomatic relations were severed today between the United States and a small Eastern European country, in part because no one could pronounce its name. Informally known as Mumblestan, the smallish government had failed to attract serious attention due to the fact that no one knew how to spell it either. The final blow came when State Department officials failed to find it on a map. Details at 11:42.
If the phrase, "it's a dog's life," brings up an image of Fido relaxing in the summer sun without a care in the world, our next report will perk up your ears. It's a look at the lengths some dog owners will go through to pamper their pooch. From Southern California, here's National News of the Nation correspondent, Biff Parkingstall.
In trendy Beverly Hills, the loudest sound on Rodeo Drive used to come from car alarms, but that was before the opening of La Chienne, the area's newest upscale outlet for canines and their adoring owners.
We initially offered high-end doggy treats online last year.
That's Suzanne Deschneux, La Chienne owner.
And we were so successful, we decided to expand our line and open a retail outlet. We've been wagging our tails ever since.
Organic appetizers will wet your whippet's whistle for such main courses as Live a Snap Delight and Kibble Crunch Bars, while doggy fortune cookies remain the paws-down favorite.
Here's a good one. You will soon meet a poodle in heat. Here's another. Something you buried long ago will surface. For those on the go, we offer a wide variety of doggy bags decorated with modern art. It's sort of an homage to Andy Warhol. We call it poop art.
Reporting from Beverly Hills for National News of the Nation, I'm Biff Parkingstall.
Environmentalists and developers mourn together today at the passing of the world's last backwards duck. The waterfowl, known primarily for its unique ability to fly backwards, confusing both hunters and birdwatchers, finally joined the dodo in the ranks of extinct animals after numerous unsuccessful attempts at mating, unfortunately, all of them backwards. Instead of wetlands and marshes, the duck preferred an urban habitat of concrete and steel. The final blow came when its last remaining nesting ground, a condemned high-rise, was cleared to reclaim the land for a wetlands project.
Support for this program is brought to you by Neverland's End, a catalog of supplies for the end of the world.
This just in, researchers at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee today confirmed scientific proof of the existence of what's commonly known as déjà vu. The persistent feeling that the present reality has been experienced before can be backed up by studies in paranormal activity and repeated in the laboratory. We'll have more details as they're available.
Many believe that George Orwell predicted the future when he wrote in his novel, 1984, of Big Brother Watching. That's not as far-fetched as one might imagine, as we'll discover in today's Tech Minute or Two with Jefferson Cracker.
If you believe current rumors, Big Brother is watching. And so is Big Sister, Little Sister, and even Big Bird. In fact, anyone who wants to watch can watch anyone they want to watch anytime they want to watch.
It's the best and worst example of reality TV at the same time.
According to Lily Smock, CEO of ViewMistress.com, who has developed software to capture the video and audio from the built-in camera and microphone that's in most computers and smartphones, whether or not they're turned on, and to offer them to subscribers who would just have to type in a name to get connected.
Of course it's an invasion of privacy, but we think it's technology James Madison would have gotten behind when he was drafting the Constitution. In fact, our lawyers believe he foretold the Internet when he included a few choice loopholes in the document.
The tools were initially designed for the government, but designers found there was more money to be made by offering it to the general public. Current plans are to offer the service for $9.99 a month with software to block the signal available for $99 quarterly. Watch for ViewMistress.com services to be on the market within the next few months. I'm Jefferson Cracker.
Tech Minute or Two is brought to you by Tech Talk Tech, offering students the ability to sound savvy with easy online lessons. Tech Talk Tech, where learning's as easy as 10 10 10.
You've been listening to National News of the Nation. Any resemblance between the preceding and true fact is pure luck. National News of the Nation was written and produced by Jeff Brown at public radio station KTOO-FM in Juneau, Alaska.
Additional help was provided by Lori Scandling, Ed Schoenfeld, Sue Belita, Frank Katas, Kit Burrows, Pat Race, Lou Logan, Diane Martin, Elva Bontrager, Boston Christopher, Heather Bryant, Justin Hurd, Jane Efshin, Betsy Brenneman, Casey Kelly, Pat Moore, Larry West, Andy Klein, Gwen Pegues, John Kelly, Ricky D., John Sievertson, Lori Townsend, Katie Chapman, Tom Paul, and DJ Thompson. I'm Walter Crankcase.
For more news, visit nationalnewsofthenation.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Brenda Cabbage.
About 4 days ago, a plane landed at Idlewild Airport. The plane came from the Middle East. bearing a man who claims to be 2,000 years old. He spent the last 6 days at the Mayo Clinic. Sir, is it true that you are 2,000 years old?
Oh, boy. Yes.
You are too... it's hard to believe, sir, because in the history of man, nobody's ever lived more than 167 years, as the man from Peru would claim to be. But you claim to be 2,000.
Yes, I'll be... I'm not yet. I'll be 2,000 October 16th.
Yes. You will be 2,000... When were you born?
We didn't have formal... years and names and writing. We didn't know.
I see. And what?
Nobody kept time then. See, we didn't know. We didn't write. We just sat around. We pointed in the sky and we said, whoa, hot boy, you know?
That's all you said?
We didn't even know it was the sun. We thought.
You mean you really didn't know
anything?
We didn't
know anything. We were so dumb and stupid.
Sir.
We didn't know who was a lady.
But they were.
They was with us. We didn't know who they were. We didn't know who was the ladies and who was fellas.
You thought it was they were just different type of fellas.
Yes, stronger or smaller or softer. The softer ones, I think, were ladies all the time.
How did you find out they were ladies?
A cute fat guy could have mistaken him for a lady. You know? Soft and cute.
Who was the person who discovered the female?
Viney.
Who was Bernie?
Bernie, one of the first leaders of our group.
And he discovered the female.
Yes.
How did it happen?
He
How did
said,
it come
hey,
to pass?
There's ladies here.
I'm very interested to find out how Bernie discovered the woman.
Well,
How did it come to pass?
He one morning, he got up smiling. So he said, I think there's ladies here. So I said, what do you mean, you know? So he said, of course, in the night, I was thrilled and delighted. See? So then he went into such a story that it's hundreds of years later, I still blushed.
Sir, could you give us the secret of your longevity?
Well, the major thing is that I never, ever touch fried food. I don't eat it, I wouldn't look at it, and I don't touch it. And they never run for a bus, there'll always be another. Even if you're late from work, you know, I never run for a bus, I never ran, I just strolled jaunty, jolly, walking to the bus stop, you know.
Yeah, well, there were no buses in the time
no,
of Iraq.
In my time, I mean, I...
What was the means of transportation then?
Mostly fear.
Fear transported you?
Fear, yes. You would see an animal would growl, you would go 2 miles in a minute.
But I suppose you
fear
had...
Fear would be the main propulsion.
Yes, but I think most people are interested in living a long and fruitful life as you have. You mentioned...
Fruit is good, too. You mentioned fruit. Fruit kept me going for 140 years once when I was on a very strict diet, mainly nectarines. I love that fruit. It's half a peach, half a plum, but it's a hell of a fruit. I love it. Not too cold, not too hot, you know, just nice.
What has been
Even
your...
a rotten one is good. I love it. That's how much I love them. I'd rather eat a rotten nectarine than a fine plum. What do you think of that?
I can understand that.
Yes, that's how much I love them.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yes,
sir?
Some good things.
Sir, what did you do for a living?
Well, many years ago, thousands of years ago, there was no heavy industry.
We know that.
The most things that we manufactured or we made, the most things that we ever made was we would make, take a piece of wood, see, and rub it and rub it and clean it and look at it and hit earth with it and hit a tree with it.
For what purpose?
Just to keep busy. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing to do. We had no jobs, don't you see?
What other jobs were there? There must have been something else besides hitting a tree with a
no,
piece of stick.
That, well, hitting a tree with a piece of stick was already a good job. You couldn't get that job, you know?
What job?
Mainly was sitting and looking in the sky was a big job. And another job was watching each other was one thing. That was lifelike, looking at each other.
What language did you speak at that
time? They spoke rock, basic rock.
Basic rock.
Yeah.
That was before Hebrew.
Yeah, it was 200 years before Hebrew. It was the rock language or rock talk.
Could you give us an example
yes.
of that?
Hey, put that, don't throw that rock at me. Put the rock at me. Hey, what are you doing with the rock? Call a policeman, for God's sake. Put the rock away.
I see.
That was the rock.
Now, do you remember your Hebrew, sir?
Yes, I.
Would you
I think I remember it fluently.
Because I understand the modern Hebrew is different from the archaic.
Yes, it differs in some of the phonetic alliterations and patterns.
Yes.
Yes.
Can we hear an example of the ancient Hebrew?
The very ancient Hebrew is, hi there. Hello. Hello there, how are you? I'm all right, how are you?
That's English.
Oh, wait.
Do you remember any Hebrew?
Very little, I think. I don't think I remember it. I must have forgot a great deal of it.
I think you forgot it all, sir.
Maybe all, yes. Maybe all.
Yes.
It's thousands of years since I needed it.
Now, sir, did you ever have any formal job as we know it today?
Yeah, well, I was a manufacturer. I was an owner.
What kind of a factory did you have?
I had I used to make the Star of David, the Jewish stars. I was one of the first makers
of that. Oh, yes, the little thing you wear as
said, as soon as religion came in, I was one of the first in that.
And,
I figured this is a good thing.
Yes, and how did you make them? Did you have tools?
Well, we didn't have lathes. I employed 6 men. See, each with a point. And they used to run together in the middle of the factory. And in their great speeds, they would fuse their thing. And it would
thus
make,
making a star.
Yes, we would make 2 a day because of the many accidents. We have 6 men running at high speed with points. You know, plenty of accidents.
You never thought of going into anything else?
No, I had an offer once.
What
a
was
A fella
that?
Came to me, Simon.
What did Simon ask you to do?
He said, if you have a new thing, a new item, a winner, it looks like a winner. Item that is going to be a big seller. It's called a cross. And I looked at it and I turned it over and I looked in all sides of it and I said, it's simple. It's too simple. I didn't know then it was eloquent.
You mean you?
No, I didn't know it would be such a hit.
You turned him down.
And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm too busy. See, I could have fired 4 men. 2 men run together, bang, you got a cross. See, I could have saved. I would have had over $100 today if I went in the cross.
It's a shame.
They're in everywhere today.
By the way, sir, are you married?
I have been married several hundred times.
Several hundred times?
Yes.
You have been married? Do you remember all your wives?
One I remember well.
Which one was that?
The third one, Shirley. I remember her. I read her.
I'm afraid to ask the next question. You had many hundreds of wives.
Hundreds and hundreds of wives.
How many children do you have?
I have over 42,000 children. And not one comes to visit me. In the afternoon.
That's
yes.
Terrible.
You bet. How they forget a father. Sure. That's how it is.
That's awful, sir. It's really... You mean to say there isn't one daughter that
many
favors
daughters,
you?
Many daughters, but they, you know how they are. Children, good luck to them. Let them go. And I don't want... Listen, let them be happy. As long as they're happy, I don't care. But they could send a note and write, how you pop, how you doing, pop, you know. They don't.
Sir, you must have known some great men in your time. You did travel throughout the world.
I knew the great and the near great.
Could I ask you about some of these?
Certainly. I'll tell you the true whether I knew or not.
For instance, people are very interested in somebody like Joan of Arc. A lot has been written about her, and we read a lot about her.
Ah, what a cutie. Joan of Arc.
You knew Joan of Arc?
I went with her, dummy. I went with her.
Nowhere in history do we know of Joan going with anybody.
Well, they don't print that. They don't print everything.
You didn't marry her?
No, I didn't marry her because she was on a mission, you know. She used to say to me, I've got to save France. I used to say, look, I got to wash up. You save France. I'll see you later. After you save France, I'll wash up, you know.
How did you
Call
feel?
In her way, me and mine.
Yes.
You know?
How did you feel about her being burnt at the stake?
Terrible. See, I didn't know.
Sir, how about some of the legendary characters who supposedly might have existed? For instance, Robin Hood. Did he exist?
Oh, yeah. Lovely man. Ran around in the forest.
Did he really steal from the rich and give to the poor?
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
He stole from everybody and kept everything.
Well,
how did legend
spring up that he was...
He had a fella, Marty. Marty, the press agent, ran in all the papers and wrote in scrolls. He took from the rich and gave to the poor. Who knew? Who knew? He'd give you such a knock in the head when he robbed you, you wouldn't remember anything else.
In other words,
he was a tough guy.
I hate to have our legendary figures smashed like
well,
this.
Well, I hate to smash him for you.
Yes. Did you, you've lived so long, did you ever have an accident in all this time?
An accident, always.
An accident.
Oh, an accident. Yes. Yes, in the year 61, I was hit, I was run over by seven men fleeing a lion. They ran me over.
That's the extent of all
this? But they didn't have insurance, I didn't have insurance. There was no such thing then, you laid there till you got better.
That's amazing. In the 2,000 years you've lived, you've seen a lot of changes.
Yes, certainly.
What is the biggest change you've seen?
In 2,000 years? The greatest thing mankind ever devised, that I think, in my humble opinion, is saran wrap. You can put a sandwich in it, you can look through it, you can touch it, and put it over your face and pull around and everything. It's so good and cute, you can wrap it up.
You equate this?
I love it. You can put three olives in it and put a little one. You can put 10 sandwiches in it and make a big saran. Whatever you want, it clings and it sticks.
You equate this with...
You can look right through it.
You equate this with man's discovery of space...
That was good. That was good. That was a good thing.
Well, sir, we don't have too much more time, but we all here would like to know your code.
Well, all right. Is this it?
You're on.
Farewell?
Your farewell address.
Hello there. This is 2,000 years talking to you from the depths of back there when we was. Now I'm still and they not. And I just want to say, keep your smile on your face and stay out of a Ferrari or any small Italian car. Stay out of them. And I want to tell you that it's been a wonderful 2,000 years, and you've been a wonderful civilization. And it's been a thrill living for 2,000 years. And eat a nectarine. It's the best fruit ever made. That's terrible.
As you know, chinchillas, or mutated chinchillas like these, blue mutants we call them.
Is that because of their peculiar coloration, Brad, that makes them so rare?
No. They were first crossbred or introduced, as we say, by Alistair Blue, a mutations expert who's been into the raising of these little sweethearts. Careful there.
Is he getting away?
That's all right. We get a lot more of them, and they do that, and that's part of the fun of raising them. And they're very clean animals.
I wanted to ask about that.
They're very clean. And if they do mess, as we refer to it, they'll do it in their little cages, and it doesn't make any difference. And they dig a little hole for it.
Is that what this one's doing here? Could we get a close-up of that?
No. Now, this one's just trying to get away. That's his mate over there. That's the one they're trying to catch.
Well, look at that. They just caught it. That's... Our floor manager just told me they stepped on it.
That's a female. That's a squirrel, as we say. Those bright colors around the snout. Nose rings, we call them. They differentiate between them. And, of course, you just cover them up with this Nair guard, and they won't breed.
They can't breathe?
No, they can't breathe.
There's one crawling up my leg.
But seriously, Brad, Ken, we want them to breed as much as possible. And this guard is only used, of course, when you're away on vacation, you know, and it becomes inconvenient for them to...
Brad, now how... Let's go over to that demonstration.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm going to show you how absolutely trouble-free these little animals are.
Back here.
If you have kids like I know I have, you'll want to watch this very carefully now.
We got a big close-up right there of the little...
If you just stay still here.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to put out this lighted cigarette on this chinchilla now. There. Now, you can see I'm just letting it burn there. It doesn't harm the coat at all.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Well, how's it's still smoking there?
Yes.
Well, how's this possible, Ken?
Well, Brad, this chinchilla is entirely synthetic.
That's fantastic.
And with these little fellas raised in your spare time in the playhouse or the garage or the slaves' quarters, you'll be making hay while the sun shines and at midnight, too, with mutant blue.
Thank you, Brad. And you two little... What's his name?
Doesn't have a name. They're all his name.
Oh, well, thank you. Just a moment. We'll tell you the numbers to call.
I have a friend with me here who is hooked on TV. Jim, when did you first contract the TV habit?
3 years ago, Ken, I became a vidiot.
A vidiot? Is this a term that I don't understand too much about being...
Oh, that's what we people call ourselves.
Vidiots.
Yeah.
Well... How did this happen? How did you get into this terrible situation that has torn your soul so far apart?
Oh, it was when I started watching Milton Berle.
Milton Berle.
Well, I got sort of wrapped up in it.
Was this a friend of yours?
No, he's a fellow that's on television.
Oh, I see.
I see you don't watch television very much, huh?
Well, I have had other interests, and that's why I... But we're discussing you.
Oh, yeah.
Milton Berle was the fellow that put you on this...
Yeah, I got wrapped up in the show, Ken. It just sort of thing that made me feel relaxed and forget my troubles and worries and...
Would you start out with watching a little bit, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit. A few hours a day at first.
And then how much are you watching now?
Well, I figure it's 15 hours, Ken.
15 hours, and how long do you sleep?
Well, I usually get about 4 or 5 hours sleep.
Oh, I see. That leaves 15 hours that you watch TV and 4 or 5 hours that... How long do you work? 4 or 5 hours a day? Or?
Yeah, when I work.
Oh, there are days when you don't even work. You just...
I can't.
Why not?
I watch television.
Oh. Well, unless...
I got a TV set in my car, too, you know that?
In your car?
Oh.
Well, that will have to go right away.
Well, they say it's illegal, but I don't care. I can't miss Godfrey, and do you realize I'm missing... Steve Allen right now?
I had no idea. Who is this?
This is the longest I've been away from a set in 2 years.
Steve Allen. Is this some friend of yours that you watch television with?
He's on television.
Well, the same way you're on television.
He's a star on television.
He's a star on television. What do you mean? He's one of the guys that you're hooked with? I mean, you watch him?
Yeah.
What does he give you?
Entertainment. Makes me laugh. Makes me forget my worries.
Well, you mustn't have any worries at all if you're watching television 15 hours a day.
Well, that's why I came here. I do, and I don't know just why I have them.
What's your problem?
I shouldn't have any worries because television makes me happy again, but...
What's your problem?
I'm worried.
About what?
I watch too much television.
If television gives you what you say it gives you...
I can feel pain starting right now. I've got to have a set.
You've got to have a
set.
Turn
on that set, will you, Ken?
No, I that set is not connected. That is not...
Turn it on, will you?
No, that is not...
I'm starting to get these pains.
Listen, I don't care who's on television right now.
Oh, Ken!
There's probably nothing but an old, late movie.
I don't care!
It's not worth it.
Turn it on, please.
Listen, read this book. Here, try this. Here's a little Adler comic book. Man.
I've got to get over. Turn it on!
All right. Let me help you. I'll just let you watch for a few seconds. There you are.
Oh, that's much better.
All right.
See what there he is. I don't need the audio.
Shameful.
No, I don't need the audio. It's just
shameful,
the video.
Shameful.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, there's nothing you're I can do better. For you. No, I think you're going to have to give yourself up. You're beyond my treatment. I think that's all you can do is to just give yourself up.
You can turn it off for a minute now. I'll run right home and watch it. See you later, Ken.
Well, one of the many problems that I face. Wait a minute, I think I'll turn the set on myself. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It's in black and white. And there's a lovely musician standing in the center of the screen. He's got a guitar. And he's all hair.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 1st of April, 2013. April Fool's Day, the day for hoaxes. It was on this day in 1976, in an interview on BBC Radio 2, the British astronomer Patrick Moore announced that a very rare event was about to take place. Jupiter and Pluto would soon align in relation to Earth, and their combined gravitational pull would momentarily override Earth's gravity and make people weigh less. He called it the Jovian-Plutonian gravitational effect, and said that if people jumped in the air at exactly 9:47 a.m., they would experience a floating sensation. And at 9:47, Patrick Moore said on the air, "Jump now." And within minutes, the BBC switchboard was flooded with calls from people who claimed that it had worked. It's the birthday of Francine Prose, Brooklyn, 1947, author of many novels and a book of nonfiction, Anne Frank, the book, the life, the afterlife. Most recent novel is My New American Life, about a young Albanian immigrant named Lula, who's working as a nanny in New Jersey trying to get her green card. Francine Prose told an interviewer recently, "I am working on a novel now that began as nonfiction. It takes place in France between 1924 and 1944. And a French person said to me, you know, you're going to have to spend years in the Bibliothèque Nationale checking all the facts." And I thought, no, I'm not. I decided to do it as a novel instead. It was on this day, 1976, Apple was founded, Apple Corporation, by Steve Jobs, his friend Steve Wozniak, and a man named Ronald Wayne, who had worked with Jobs at Atari. They planned to produce and sell Apple personal computer kits, hand-assembled by Wozniak. The company was incorporated the following January, but Ronald Wayne quit after a few weeks, sold his 10% share back to Jobs and Wozniak for a little over $2,000. Had he held onto it, that share would be worth about $22 billion today. Mr. Wayne said later he didn't regret selling the stock. He'd made the best decision he could with the information available to him at the time. And it's the birthday of Rachel Maddow, born in California's Castro Valley, 1973, not far from San Francisco. A Rhodes Scholar, went on to become the host of The Rachel Maddow Show on MSNBC. Rachel Maddow, who is openly gay, and who once said, "I'm the unlikely cable news host, but before that, I was the unlikely Rhodes Scholar, and before that, I was the unlikely kid who got into Stanford, and then I was the unlikely lifeguard." You can always cast yourself as unlikely when you're fundamentally alienated in your worldview. It's a healthy approach for a commentator. Here's a poem for today by Jack Riddle, entitled "The Neighbors." Sometimes they go outside, maybe move a rose bush to the backyard or clean a window. Usually they simply stand under a maple or in a snowfall. And this is often when they see a nuthatch on its dizzy route down a trunk, or the quick flick of a chickadee across the yard and onto a branch. They don't do much. That's for others. They know how to take things for granted, know what to miss. Every morning they make breakfast, and when the sun sets, they let it go. The Neighbors by Jack Riddle, from Practicing to Walk Like a Heron, published by Wayne State University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, helping professionals and businesses look their best when people search for them online. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. Produced by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ox Bay area, tune to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. We're also online at www.ktoo.org.
You've been listening to a special April Fool's Day edition of the Juneau Afternoon Program. Today we heard National News of the Nation, Carl Renner and Mel Brooks doing an interview with a 2,000-year-old man, Raising Chinchillas by the Fireside Theater, also Ken Nordine with his interview about a man addicted to television. The forecast for tonight, rain showers in the evening, then snow showers later on, snow accumulation up to 2 inches expected with low temperatures up to 32 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies expected on Tuesday with scattered snow showers in the morning and scattered rain showers in the afternoon. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Happy April Fool's Day. Thanks for tuning in.
Novartis' India Supreme Court today denied patent protection to the Swiss pharmaceutical giant Novartis for its blockbuster drug known as Gleevec. The ruling ends a 6-year legal battle that's been closely watched by pharmaceutical firms and humanitarian aid organizations, and NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
Novartis's drug known as Gleevec, a breakthrough treatment for leukemia in the 1990s, cost about $2,500 a month. The generic version, a couple hundred. When the Swiss drug maker sought a new patent, Indian officials said it was not changed enough to qualify as a new drug. Siding with the patent office, India's Supreme Court effectively ruled against a practice known as evergreening, which critics say allows companies to make minor changes for a new patent, thus denying access as a generic. Novartis said the ruling discourages innovation, but health activists say it provides affordable medicine for the poor. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.
Stockton, California has become the most populous city in the nation to officially file for bankruptcy. U.S. bankruptcy judge saying he has accepted the city's application. By filing for bankruptcy, Stockton hopes to be able to avoid repayment of some of its outstanding debts. The judge turning aside creditors' arguments, the city of nearly 300,000 is not truly insolvent. Filing is likely to cripple, or ripple rather, through the 3.0.